Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, second half begins. The disco ball continues to spin. Happy Thanksgiving to you on the East Coast. And let's face it, the rest of you have started anyway. So raise a glass. Me, I've got an extra large cup of coffee. We appreciate you being part of the extended family here on Fox Sports Radio. Mike Harmon alongside the All-American, King of the Mammals, LeVar Arrington. He's in for Jason Smith tonight. How are we feeling? Nice and warmed up?
Hey, to everybody on the East Coast, you are 1 minute into Thanksgiving. So now that we've been warmed up for the last 2 hours, I just want to start off this hour by saying happy Thanksgiving to all of you in the areas that have struck 12:01.
That was just so sweet. All you out at bars, be safe out there. Be smart. Don't do anything dumb. Always... remember, as our guys Petrus and Money on AM 570 LA Sports here remind you, bad decisions in the bars getting into those high school reunions. Be careful in that regard.
There and you if go, you do do something, if you do something really dumb, try to do it where you don't get arrested.
There's that too.
And try to do it where you don't have to have a regret. Like if you fall asleep at the bar. That's dumb, but it's innocently dumb. All right, don't do no silly like over the board dumb stuff. And that's coming from your boy LeVar. All right, like don't use the holiday as an excuse. All right,
I just saw that shooting star like it was the NBC. That's one to grow on.
Man, that is one to grow on. Certainly.
Yeah, maybe we do a whole other PSA line of do's and don'ts. From the mind of LeVar.
You don't want to have those regrets of the dumb do's after the fact. You just don't.
Nah, that's a fair point.
You right?
Don't. No,
right?
That, well, that's just
yeah,
it. And that's,
I don't want that.
You know, there's a lot of NFL players right now that might be in that same predicament.
I saw the segue. I heard the segue. I felt the segue. Let's go all the way with it.
Right? To where you might be at the dumb decision point in your season if your team is floundering. If you feel like your playoff hopes are starting to slip away, that perhaps you want to go and shake by the collar, say, a coordinator on the other side of the ball. Say you're a little upset with your special teams coordinator and how things are flowing there. We saw today the Los Angeles Chargers. They've had 3 punts blocked. They reassigned and shuffled up their staff to help address those issues earlier today. So when you're in a locker room and things have started to spiral a bit, LeVar, how tough is it to say, hey, you know what? We've got to take care of our 11. We got to take care of our unit, our position, our unit, right? Our defensive unit or offensive line or whatever it is. How hard is it to keep your tongue?
It can be difficult. It really can. It can be difficult because you feel as though things that are costing you are out of your control. But it can also be empowering as well. You know, I always looked at moments like that where the team was underperforming, and it could have been a unit, could have been special teams. Like, special teams is the story of my career. It's like actually the reason probably why I didn't have a Hall of Fame career. Like, if you think about my first 3 years or 4 years in the league, we struggled because we didn't have a field goal kicker. We were missing playoffs because of a lack of field goals. So, you know, instead of us going and playing on prime time, you know, giving me more, you know, national exposure in the playoffs and possibly, you know, with some of those teams that defensively we were good enough to make a run, but we didn't. So, you know, for me, I always felt like looking at the guys that were coming up short. So if it was a field goal kicker, if it was, you know, the snapper, the holder, whoever's on the unit, I felt like I always in the moment wanted to encourage them and be a guy that really was about the solutions versus looking at the coach or looking at the players and being like, you guys are costing us, you suck, like, we need to get new guys, da-da-da, whatever. But there were the guys that wanted to fight and were upset with it and were not okay with it, and they would voice their opinions about it. And sometimes temperatures would run a little high. Things would get a little uncomfortable, a little tension in meeting rooms and on the football fields. And, you know, you got to be able to handle those adverse situations. I always say, in the moments of truth where somebody may be underachieving, a group may be underachieving, it's in those moments that you either find a way to come together and pull things together and find the solutions that will lead to rectifying the problem, or you allow the problem to manifest itself and fester in the rest of the team, and then you start to see the rest of the units come undone. Now you're seeing the offense struggle. Now you're seeing the defense struggle. So to me, I never really subscribed to going sour on your teammates. I never subscribed to that, not one bit, because you still have the games in front of you that you have to play. And there's no reason to tune out and dial out because one aspect of it, as we were talking earlier about, you know, the Bears defense has held teams in low enough point production for the offense to be able to produce enough points for them to win games, even if ugly. But again, if you lose those games, then you gotta take inventory on what you can do better, not what others can do better. The sign and the mark of a true winner and a true champion is taking inventory on what you can do better and the people within your unit, bringing them and empowering them and trying to empower others on the other units, but not taking it too far, not taking it past the line of sensibility of you don't play on that side of the ball, so you don't know what they're going through and what they have to deal with. So just keep in your lane. Tend to your lawn is really what the saying used to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a Bears defense. One thing you could do, the ball's not bouncing their way. And this has to frustrate you as a former NFL player and an All-American linebacker, Pro Bowler, 3 years. Tackling has gone out the wayside. Not everybody's Peanut Tillman. And I don't say this for the Bears. Man, I say this for every team that I'm watching out there. Letting the guy carry you for six additional
Mike
yards
Brown.
While you're trying to punch out the ball is just foolhardy.
Yeah. There's still some guys out there that do it. You see it show up here and there, but the game itself has continued to evolve quite some bit. And because these rules that govern hitting and versus tackling, you have more guys that are trying to tackle now versus hit. I always was taught growing up, if they can see you, tackle them. If they can't see you, hit them. And I used to, like, until I got to a good place, like, you know, like, what does that mean? Like, what's the difference between hitting and tackling? Well, when you hit somebody, that's you throw your body into them.
Right.
When you tackle, it's more or less like your body positioning, getting to a good place to make contact, getting your arms wrapped around, trying to get them down, like, you know, alligator rolling, whatever.
Sure, start getting into your techniques.
It's very different. It's very different. And it's very difficult to execute a tackle when somebody who's gifted sees you. So that's the idea of it, is you have to put yourself in a position to either make the tackle or slow them down enough for your pursuit to get there and help you out. If you got Barry Sanders in front of you, I would suggest that even if he's seeing you and you see him, that you get your feet moving and try to slow him down as much as you possibly can and hope that some way, somehow, you can slow him down enough for the pursuit to come get him.
Well, as we know, 3-1-0, -2, -3, 75 and a touchdown. Barry Sanders in a given week. All right, we're going to segue into a message you might have for your alma mater here in a second. But reminder, hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and your car insurance, and it's a good thing, too, because having a home is certainly hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico.com, it's easy. All right, so with a couple of games remaining in this Penn State schedule, big one this week because the loser, their name gets besmirched even more between James Franklin and Jim Harbaugh.
I don't know, man.
What would the message to that locker room be? I mean, obviously a strange season. Opt-outs.
They're both having strange seasons.
Nothing normal for either side of this.
You know, they almost lost. Michigan almost lost to Rutgers last
They should have lost to Rutgers. I have no idea what the play calling was in that first overtime. And you're settling for a field goal with a college kicker.
And we continue to lose. So I was on the phone with a couple of the guys for at least 10 minutes, just kind of, you know, again, like what we just talked about, the conversation that I just told you about in terms of empower guys and encourage them. And listen, they have three games left. So they're going to have a losing season. No matter how well they do, they're going to have a losing season. But the one thing that I'll say for both teams, you know, especially for my alma mater, but for both teams, when you've played as poorly as these teams have played, you actually set yourself up to look better than having an undefeated season. And some would say, well, how is that? There's no sense in that. Well, here's the sense in that. Knowing that you have struggled and you have suffered through getting to the point of being able to play a season, and then you get to the point of where you're playing a season and the season isn't unfolding the way that you would like for it to unfold. But then some way, somehow, you gut up and you see that gut up take place and you find a way to beat Michigan. You find a way to win out the rest of your schedule. And even though it's only three games, you went 3-4. You look like a hero because y'all found a way to push through all of the disappointment and all of the failures that took place and dialed in and turned it around.
Can finish 3-5, Michigan. And then Rutgers, and then Michigan State. Sorry, buddy. You don't want to remember the Iowa game. I understand that.
It might not even be the Iowa game. It might be, you know, the Indiana game.
The thing that started it all.
I don't know. It might be the Ohio State. It could be any one of those. You know, Nebraska starting to spank us while like early. And I don't know. I don't know which one. I've been traumatized by this season.
I can tell,
as you
buddy.
Can tell.
Now, me sitting here at 5-0 with the Northwestern logo,
God bless,
blazoned across my forehead doesn't
good
help.
For you. Good for you.
Hey, I'm taking the victories.
You should
as I can.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Northwestern, so it's fine.
Well, good, 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 good. See the kindred spirits as we go. Pat Fitzgerald on with Colin Cowherd a little bit earlier today. Nice. You can download that podcast as well as anything you've heard with us tonight. Look for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon Wednesday edition with LeVar Arrington. Obviously, The Herd from earlier today. All of that, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your downloads, give it 5 stars. We love you forever and forever. I'll give you the virtual hugs and maybe Instagram love as we get into the weekend as well, and you're recovering from all your family gatherings. Coming up next, we'll talk about some of the games you'll be trying to get your eyes on. Why? Because we still have two NFL games ready to go. The traditional games in Detroit and Dallas ready to roll. He's LeVar Arrington in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon, and this is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, everybody dancing along at home. Thanks for being part of the family. Fox.
I'm not going to do it.
Sports Radio. You
I'm
know you want
do
to.
Do it! I'm not.
Because I see you bouncing in your chair.
I am bouncing.
That left or right arm is up and it's bouncing. I can see it right now. LeVar, big question that came out of our producer studio. All right? I'm going to let the Big A take over. Alex Teichert dropping the beats for you tonight.
Yes,
he's got big, momentous occasion coming up on his life this weekend, and he wanted to get your advice and maybe get a little bit of insight of what to expect.
So, LeVar, I'm going to get the first installment of my sleeve for tattooing, so this Sunday. Okay. And so we had a discussion here. We did like a family feud, top five things on the board. What's one of the top five things you don't want to hear your tattoo artist saying mid-tattoo? And I was thinking number one is oops.
Yeah, oops is bad.
You think anything's better than that?
Oops. Anything better than oops.
Or worse, I should say.
Oh, anything worse than oops. If I heard my tattoo artist say, I'll be right back.
That's not good either.
That one might get me going.
What about I can fix this? Not another one?
That's a bad one.
Yeah, I can, that's a bad the honest one. Reaction. If we had the video of LeVar, I could see the eyebrows going up going, yeah.
That's a bad one. What else?
Got any other?
Anything
big in your tattoo experience? I mean, you've got your Penn State logo. That is the prominent one.
I do have my Penn State logo. You know, my logos are considered to be old school tattoos. You know, there's old school and then there's new school. New school, that stuff looks like, man, like it belongs on a canvas. You know, old school, they're like almost like they belong on like in comic books or something like that. Like they don't look, they don't have the type of detail and the type of just like precision to it, like the lifelikeness of it. It's like crazy how tattoo artists have evolved. But you know, going back to the original point, I mean, man, if a dude said to me, I can fix this, and listen, and maybe even if it would be worse if he didn't say it to me and was saying it to himself, that would be very, like, to me, there's just certain things that just don't, you know, or, oh, what did I do with that? You know, like, what do you mean? What's that? What did you forget?
Which part
something?
Of this? Yes.
You know, because sometimes it looks like they're jerry rigging sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, you ever, I don't know. You don't have tattoos, Mike, do you?
You know what? I've been thinking about getting one, but my kids tell me, quote, I'm not a tattoo guy.
You don't look like a tattoo guy. I mean, unless you just went all in. Like, you'd be like the mini me of Kyle Turley. Like, you'd be like.
I've interviewed Kyle a couple of times. Yeah, those
Kyle
are fun, man.
That's my dude. But yeah, man, like when you get tattoos, you always see them like putting like rubber bands around, and it's like they're always like altering or adjusting. Like they, you see them like pushing it where the needles go down so they can tell like the length and all that. I don't know, man.
Make it feel like you're celebrating a Jackson Pollock painting the way you're describing it.
I don't know,
a little bit,
man.
Here, and then we can correct a little bit here and create an angle here.
But I think you should enjoy it because pain is pleasure sometimes. And
whoa,
you know,
whoa, whoa, family show.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Hey. I told one of my buddies, he's a Uso, that we're going to go get taps. I'm gonna get a tap tattoo at some point, and my wife has to go with me too.
Well, okay.
We're gonna get tap tattoos, and I heard that is the most painful way, but they say it's the most warrior-driven way of getting a tat. So, you know, I'll probably end up being like the dude on Moana. You know, it's like, are you done? Oh my gosh, are you done? And they really just started. Like they it was just the first tap. You know, but
hey, what can I say? But hey, you're welcome.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Run around.
Demigods like to talk trash like that.
Well, you know? As well they should. Anytime we can get the Rock mixed into the show, you got to love that as well. He was on the One Drink with Glazer show, our buddy Jay Glazer on Instagram. Mental health week, right, as we talk about, you know, the holidays and what it does and seasonal depression in the Midwest and East Coast and everything with weather affecting you and the pandemic in general. So at Jay Glazer, check out what he's got there. For our purposes here in the Geico studios, at LeVar Arrington on Twitter, at King of the Mammals on Instagram, and find me over at Swollen Dome. So we'll do the first of the two Thanksgiving Day games. We're talking about all of the injured wide receivers, LeVar, when it comes to this Houston-Detroit game. We had Aaron Rodgers throwing a little bit of love towards his division mate Matthew Stafford in the process of an interview this week, and Deshaun Watson, a one-man band, who was thankful Bill O'Brien wasn't there at the trade deadline for fear that Will Fuller, sure, Brandon Cooks, and everybody else were going to be
everybody
sent out of town.
Gone. I'm going to get rid of all of y'all before I leave here.
So what we've seen is Romeo Crennel. These guys have at least shown some heart and willingness to play here.
A little bit.
But
not much.
Yeah, it lacks a little bit of the gravitas. You know, whenever we get into Lions Thanksgiving Day football, I was excited this past Sunday. And, you know, when you and I did the preview show, as we do each and every week here on Fox Sports Radio, the Lions could legit be at 500 going into Thanksgiving and having a shot at the playoffs. And then they go and get shut out by P.J. Walker. Good for him. XFL. Do all your Vince McMahon. This is the XFL. And tie it back to The Rock, who now owns the rights. But they lose 20-0, and you've got injuries piling up. Adrian Peterson couldn't fall forward against what had been a heretofore a sieve-like Panthers run defense. And now we've got this matchup tomorrow to get things started in Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit.
same old Detroit? Because I know, was it Barry Sanders that was suing a beer company for using that as their slogan?
You know what's crazy? Is that Detroit has a better record than the Texans, which I find to be very, very interesting. So when you look at what's about to take place with this game, you know, it's interesting. Deshaun Watson is playing some amazing football, but it's hard to look at how Deshaun is playing and give him the props that he deserves because the team stinks.
Right, can't do it in a vacuum. Much like we were talking about with individual, you know, players on maybe the performing side of the football a little bit earlier in the show.
Then you look on the other side of the ball, and you look at Matthew Stafford, and Matthew Stafford is actually continuing to be Matthew Stafford. And so for me, when I look at, you know, what's going on, you know, we were concerned. People were concerned about would he be able to play. Injured his thumb.
Right.
Said he's going to do it. You know, staff has fought through some real adversity and pain to be able to do the things that he's done. But here's what's interesting. All right, you look at what he's doing this year, and you look at his rating. He's really only been at 70, at a 70 rating on just recently against Carolina. So when you think about what he's capable of doing, he's generally more often than not, he's a 100 rating quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got two good this is what I'm
trying
to get at.
Two good signal callers.
You got two
and just
good quarterbacks.
Sit back and enjoy it.
That's what I'm trying to get to. You got two good signal callers, like premier quarterbacks that are playing, and even though the teams are performing poorly in terms of with their records and wins and losses, there's still some specialness that you can see when you watch this game, and more specifically coming from the quarterback's position. There you go.
Coming up next, we'll preview the other game on the slate. We've got the Washington football team and Dallas Cowboys still ready to get after it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The best side dish that you're going to consume over the next couple days. Alex, Andre, you guys want to chime in?
Man, that's tough. I just started this new thing where it's called macaroni stuffed sweet potatoes.
Okay.
So that's going to be kind of fun to try. It's going
to
be fun.
You're going to have to take a picture and send it.
You promise. I will.
Andre?
Go for it.
Get on the microphone.
Come on.
Swallow the microphone.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Anything special to the mac and cheese? Anything crazy you're going on?
It's really hard to mess that up. I just keep it simple. Mac and cheese.
Fair enough. Good job, Lamar, Dre. What's yours?
Good job. I'm a cabbage guy. I love fried cabbage.
Some fried red cabbage? Is that what we're doing?
Red. Just regular cabbage. I like cabbage. I like the cabbage with some bacon in there, fried.
Oh, now, fried as soon as you dress it up with a little bit of bacon, there's no question about it. I got grandma's sausage stuffing recipe. I mean, it just does me good going back to when I was a kid.
That sounds pretty awesome. Sausage?
Oh, yeah.
Stuffing.
Some sage sausage that you buy off the rack. Add a little bit more, of course.
But, I'll throw that in that foodie.
Tell you what, that's why I've got a large posterior, I can tell you that, growing up eating that kind of stuff. Hey, it helps in the development of Quadzilla. And, you know, when I'm walking away, I mean, you know, people just get envious or
Quadzilla.
Excitable. What can I say? What's funny here is I'm looking at from the Star, I think this is Minneapolis, is mashed potatoes is shown as the most popular side dish for California. And I really can't believe that. That seemed odd to me.
Do you like putting your corn in your mash?
Of course. Yeah, it all kind of gets blended.
Some people don't subscribe to that.
No, my older daughter has like a military plate that goes on. Like it's got to be compartmentalized. And if the juices start running into each other, she's reaching for napkins and whatever.
That's generally me. That was me for the whole literally first and second part of my life. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to like fight through this and I'm going to like do something that's really, really just outlandishly like off the cuff, like different. And I started putting mash. Then I put corn on it. Then I put some stuffing on it. Then I put a little cheese on it. Then I put the gravy on it and literally put the turkey. Well, I put the turkey on it before the gravy, and then I put the gravy on it, and then I went to town on it.
See, now you're talking about trying to create your perfect bite.
It was
almost
sloppy.
Like you're putting. Well, look, I've always said
sloppy.
I don't look. I'm not going to win any awards for how my food looks. Okay,
but when it
goes down the throat, it tastes good, and you're coming back for more. There's no question about it. But the idea for
just
me is
slop.
Well, that's okay.
It was so good.
Yeah, it can be a bit messy. That's all good. I'll have to bust out the. I'll have to make a thing of sausage stuffing now for the crew. Add that to the list. Glug and stuffing. Supply your own meat. There we go. Look, we're looking about lunchtime, maybe dinner time, depending on where you are. You might already be passed out a little bit, and someone's slapping you awake to say, "Hey, look, Andy Dalton's on the field." Andy Dalton and the Cowboys, we talked about all the problems going on in Philadelphia, LeVar. All of a sudden, Dallas, not that they're world-beating by any stretch of the imagination, but when we go player for player, position for position, they still have more talent than any other team in that division. And the Giants intrigue me because they play defense. And Joe Judge has those guys playing a little bit. So I'm curious to see what they have coming out of their bye week. But with Dallas, we know as CeeDee Lamb rises up, you've got Cooper, you've got Gallup, Dalton Schultz has played pretty well. And I really like the play calling to get Ezekiel Elliott outside, get him that touchdown early, and an exhale, right? That you pop the balloon. And then he went for a season-high 103 yards rushing, while Tony Pollard gave you a couple of big plays as well.
Sure.
Am I wrong to think that Dallas can suddenly find their way back to the top of this division?
I told you y'all would do it. I told you people would do it. You Dallas lovers and apologists out there is what I mean by you people, because, you know, we've gotten so
you got to be careful, man.
Yeah.
You and I have had fights in the studio over things like that. How dare you?
hey, Mike, just so we're clear to everyone out there, when I say you people, I meant the people who like Dallas or are apologists. So just so we're clear, because I don't want that clipped and used and manipulated. Anyway.
You were just talking about guys like me.
Yes.
Squat, swole.
I said it last Sunday. Do not take a win by the Dallas Cowboys over the Vikings as, here it is. This is what we've been waiting for. The moment of truth. Now we're going to be amazing from here on out.
No, I'm not going that far, but the schedule certainly lines up okay.
It does,
right?
But they're
Washington,
not a good,
Washington tomorrow.
They probably will lose this game.
Yeah, I kind of have that gut feeling as well.
They will probably lose this game.
But to say for the sake of argument, they don't. The rest of their schedule at Baltimore.
You know what's horrible?
What?
I'm going to tell you what's horrible.
You hate me.
It's if they, no, not at all. If they win this game tomorrow against Washington, the fact that people get to say that they won two games in a row is going to have tremendous meltdown impact across the country.
Oh, because there's no question about it. Skip Bayless will post like 9,000 videos from the Fox Sports 1 studios.
Just dancing horribly. And then all the rest of them Dallas Cowboy fans are going to come crawling from under their rocks that they've been hiding under since Dallas has been showing they're a bad team. And you'll have one more week to sit there and boast and brag about them boys. How about them Cowboys at a 5-win clip?
But that's just it. At 5 or 6 wins, they could win the division. At this point, you got Washington tomorrow, then a Thursday night affair on Fox against Baltimore.
Oh, this is
Baltimore
draining.
Will be coming off a short week.
This is the
COVID
worst segment ever.
At Cincinnati, then versus the 49ers.
Everybody
and then the Eagles, and then on the road at the Giants.
Go nuts. They will go nuts.
It's absolute insanity.
If they get to 2 wins in a row. It's like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's happened. We're going to climb back from the ashes of what our dumpster fire was earlier in the season. We're going to Super Bowl. We're going to be there. We're getting our tickets. We're renting our rooms. We know you can't even go watch, but we're going to be there.
Hey, 11,000 in Tampa, baby. Come on now.
We are going to throw some type of a viewing party where all the Cowboys fans can come and congregate and cheer on the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl.
Can we go to it as a sociological experiment? Would that be fun?
I would never subject myself to being in an area. I did it for years. I had to be in an area where there were tons of Dallas fans.
I get that. I'm just saying, like, here you're not playing. You don't have to hate the team.
I don't even have.
You'd be drinking with me watching the craziness.
You want to know what's crazy?
You say that's a bad thing?
Let me tell you something. No, that's not a bad thing. Let me tell you something. My hard feelings for the Dallas Cowboys, all right, stems far beyond when I played against them as a player, all right? Like, you have to understand something. I'm from Pittsburgh. So you got to take into consideration that in 1996, all right, which it was 95, 96, because I remember being, like, in high school when this happened.
Sure,
right?
Glory days, they'll pass you by as we go in the timeline.
I believe it was 95, 96. Yeah, they played the Super Bowl in 96, but I think it was the 95, 96 season. Anyway, I can remember where I was. I was in my mom and dad's room watching this Super Bowl, and Deion Sanders, who ended up being my teammate eventually down the line, right? It was crazy.
I got a million questions for that guy eventually, okay, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I'm sitting here and I'm watching this game, and we have Cornell Lake, we have Rod Woodson, we have Greg Lloyd, and we have Kevin Green, and we have, you know, LaVon Kirkland in the middle, and we have a guy at the quarterback's position, and his name was called Neil O'Donnell. And there was a dude named Larry, what was Larry's name? He got MVP of the game,
I believe.
Larry Brown. I hate Larry Brown. Don't even know him. Never met him.
Wow.
Hate him.
Just left that taste in your mouth. And, you know, I just refreshed my Twitter.
Yeah.
And someone has that video of Skip Bayless dancing.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, no, it's not good for anybody. But we're going to see more of it,
guy,
buddy.
But it's horrible. The meltdowns will be epic if these guys do 2 games in a row.
I can't wait to see the chaos.
I said fight against it. I said it. Do not think that there's a turnaround from them being a horrible football team if they win the game. And sure enough, everybody did it.
Funny how this all works. And I'm just raising my hand asking the question because the division is trash.
It's trash.
Someone's got to win. He's LeVar Arrington, king of the mammals. Find me over at Swollen Dome. I'm Mike Harmon. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon coming to you from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. Coming up next, we move into a question of legacy. One quarterback told you he cares. Do you? Next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Welcome in, Fox Sports Radio. Mike Harmon alongside the king of the mammals, LeVar Arrington. Having some fun with you. Thanks for hanging out. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox. As you get ready for your holidays, we raise a glass to you. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Be smart out there. Lots going on. We have a spirited conversation of the Thanksgiving Day games that spawned some Cowboys angst. So reaching out. Big virtual hug to you there, buddy. I could feel your angst going back some 25 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And a win tomorrow will bring it all back.
It's just amazing, Dallas fans.
Well,
that's all
you know, that's all it takes. Get folks excited once again as you flow through it. The NFL season, the riding the lightning, as it were. So coming up in a few minutes, we'll get deeper into, we already talked about our Thanksgiving Day games, but we have staff movement. We have goat talk. We have exhibition talk. There's a good and one Ravens player saying that the NFL player safety valuation that it's a joke. We'll get into that in the coming hour. But Aaron Rodgers was on with Dan Patrick a little bit earlier today, and we're always trying to figure out where guys place LeVar. Right? It's goat conversations. It's top five. This top five, and it's great for debate and conversation. We've got the top 20 of the century. Is something we voted on here at Fox Sports Radio. The first five were unveiled last night on The Odd Couple, and those will happen every Tuesday night for the next 3 weeks as we get to the race to number one, choosing from a list of 60 athletes down to 20. But Aaron Rodgers doing a little bit of reflection time with Dan Patrick, and he was asked about his legacy and whether those kind of things ever play into his thought process.
Not really, not at this point, no, I don't think so. I think the eras are so different. I think a lot of people maybe think about those things a little more with LeBron winning another championship and trying to compare him to Michael to Wilt and Kareem and Russell and, you know, all the great players of all time. It's just tough to compare generations. So I don't get into that a whole lot. My legacy to me is more about like what kind of player I was, what kind of teammate I was, how I was the organization, the community. That stuff's more important.
See, there you have it. The two sides of legacy. The internalized versus, well, what do we do in sports talk radio and media when we start adding lists to put it on your name? And for Aaron Rodgers, obviously getting back to a Super Bowl run would do a lot for the latter. For the former, I mean, you've been rolling at it for a good decade plus at a very high level, so you got to be satisfied with what you've done to this point. And a guy that... across most NFL discussions, he ranks in that, you know, he'd be on the medal stand, I guess, of the current era of football.
Yeah, I just think it's when you get into talking about list and you start getting into talking about legacy, you don't have to really, really get too deep down the rabbit hole of like the list of the great, like ranking them type deal. In terms of legacy, legacy isn't a rank. Legacy is what you're remembered for, as he mentioned. He wants to be remembered as a good teammate, you know, and different things like that. So for me, I'm okay with his response, and I think he's one of the greats to do it of all time, obviously. And you don't have to always get involved with looking at how many championships they've won. It's what he's done for the game.
Look at you. But yeah. Ranking chips is really what people love to do, LeVar.
Yeah, oh, it's fun.
It's all fun. It's all good hot take nonsense. He's LeVar Arrington, in for Jason Smith. I'm Mike Harmon. Coming up next, is the NFL protocol a joke?